the 29th Psalm. I want to read to you verse 3 through verse 9. This is one passage in Scripture that emphasizes God's voice over and over again and just tells us some things about His voice. And we're gonna talk about those more at the end of the message, but we'll be sharing with you various things about the voice in and of itself. In verse 3, the Bible says, "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory." Hallelujah. Would you say amen to the reading of God's word? You may be seated. One, maybe two sermons this afternoon that I'd like to share with you on the voice of the Lord or the voice of God. I've been thinking for some time, and just as from time to time the Lord would just impress it upon me, maybe in a time of prayer, and he would just speak things to me about it. And I felt this morning as I was praying, and that this is the direction that God wanted me to go for today. And so I'd like to talk to you some things about this business of the voice and the voice of the Lord. Sometimes we hear and we read in scriptures, well, they did not obey the voice of the Lord. And we sometimes take that, and although there is certainly a connection, but we take that as if, you know, they just simply disobeyed God's commands. There was a law, they knew the law, and they disobeyed the law, and that's, it was just another way of saying that they disobeyed the law of God. But that's not what it says. There are times specifically the Lord mentions they disobeyed His voice. And there's times they disobey His word, or they disobey His law. And although surely those two do go hand in hand, they do not convey the same idea to us. And so I wanted to try to bring home to us what it is, what is this sense of the voice. And when we talk about the voice of God, what is it that that implies or that it means unto us? First of all, I want to share with you some things about the nature of the voice. And then we're going to talk some things about the power of the voice. And then finally, we'll get to the business of the voice of God itself. Let's understand, first of all, that the voice, when we talk about the voice, we are talking about something that is distinct from the words that are spoken. The same words can be spoken, but if you change the voice, you will change the meaning of the words. The voice makes a lot of difference when you are communicating something. I give you an example of that. If I take the phrase, "get out of here," and I can say to you that phrase, for example, I may say to you, "get out of here." And that may indicate to you a sense of danger. That if your house is on fire and I run into your house and I say, "get out of here," I'm communicating to you a sense of fear in my voice. And that there is a danger that is inherent and you need to leave because of the danger. You may be in my presence and make me upset, and I might look at you and say, "get out of here." And my voice being changed, I would, and my expression would be of such that I'm angry, and that I'm telling you to leave, not because your house is on fire, but because my house is on fire. And I'm telling you to get out of here. Sometimes we use that. We've even used that phrase sometimes in a sense when somebody is joking, and we might say, "oh man, get out of here. What are you talking about?" We don't mean for them to leave. We're saying the same words, but the tone, the voice is different, and therefore the message is different. That has a lot to do with it. So if you change the voice, you change the meaning of the words that are being spoken, although the words are the same. The voice is recognized, and I should say in a process of life, the voice is recognized even before the words are understood. A baby comes to learn and know its mother's voice and its father's voice before the child can ever understand or comprehend the words and what are spoken. They recognize the voice. They know that tone. I'll never forget when my first daughter was born, and I was there at every one of my children's births, and I will never forget. I'd spent so much time talking to her. She was first. She got a lot more attention, I guess. And I would just sometimes lay my head next to my wife's belly, and I would just talk to her, and I would say things to her, and that joy of your first child, and the delight, you just wanted everything you could to put out, and of course, the more came along, the more you got stretched out, and you weren't able to put as much, you felt like, into that, but I would talk to her, and I'll never forget that the first day that she was born, and as soon as she exited the womb, I spoke, and as soon as I spoke, her head turned in my direction. And she immediately, and the doctor, she knew the voice. She had no comprehension of the words, but she recognized that voice because she had heard it so often while she was in the womb of her mother. And so the voice is something that carries meaning and identification whenever the words often are not understood. Voice is universal in some sense. You know, you can understand it sometimes when you can't understand the words. We can communicate sometimes even with animals, not because animals speak language, but they understand voice tone and voice expression. You can use a command word, and by your tone of voice, the animal knows. You know, the animal knows if you're chewing it out or if you're petting it, because not because your words change, but because your voice changes, and that voice can have all the difference. You can look at a baby in a crib, and you can take, and if your voice and your message is such that your voice says that you are gentle, if your voice says that you are caring and that you are complacent and you're contented, then the child can accept that, and then they may coo at you. You know, but irregardless of what word you say, I mean, you can look down at that baby, and if you're all smiles and you're doing a gitchy goo or whatever, and you're tickling them and you're just smiled, you can look at them and say, "You're the ugliest baby I have ever seen in my life. Oh, I have never seen a child. Yes, you are. You're so ugly. You scare your mama." They will laugh at you. They won't hold a grudge. They will, because they don't know your words, but they know your voice. Now, you could say loving things. You could say kind things. But if you say them with anger and fierceness and harshness, they'll cry. Not because your words. You're using good words, but your words don't matter at that point. What matters is your voice, and you're communicating to them in that voice, and we can learn from that. And I will tell you, God's got a voice. Oh, hallelujah. That's where I want to go with this eventually. I want you to understand that the voice of God is such that He speaks to us and conveys things to us, not simply by the message of the words, but what His voice is saying unto us. The scriptures tell us that. And you know, in things even without language, in the 19th Psalm, the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. God says that the heavens have a voice, and they are speaking. Do not tell me that the evolutionists cannot hear. He has closed His ears. Oh, that is not the point. It is not that God is not speaking. It is that His ears have been closed unto what God has done. Because every day that sun comes up, it's preaching. Every day that moon, or that night when that moon comes, it is preaching to us. The heavens, the stars, and the arrangement, the order to it, the predictability of things that are going on, the order that exists there is telling us that there is a hand, there is a mind.
Almighty God. There is someone beyond that has all of this, and it hangs. And I don't know who it was talking about it the other day, but they said, you know, there are no sky hooks, if you will. You can't hang anything on a sky hook. We'd like to do that, but we got to have something of substance that is attached to a wall or something that you can hang it on. But I thought, when they said that, I thought, but God's got a sky hook. God can hang the moon up there and hang it on nothing. He can hang the stars up on nothing. He can take the sun and set it out there, and nothing holds it in place except the command and the word of God. But the heavens are preaching. They make no language. They say no words. But their voice is yet speaking unto us. So the voice is distinct from the words. So please understand that. The voice is not the words. The voice is distinct from the words. Secondly, the voice reflects the spirit and the will of the speaker. The voice can say, I'm indifferent. I'm happy. I'm angry. I'm content. The voice is that which will convey your attitude. It'll convey your spirit. You know, someone can say, will you do this for me? And the voice can say, sure, I'll do that for you. Or the voice can say, sure, I'll do that for you. Same words. No difference in the words, but the voice communicated that from one, he is delighted. He is happy to do this. The other, it was a hardship. He'll do it, but he really doesn't want to do it. And so that sometimes our words are right. We're saying the right thing, but the voice is conveying the trueness of the spirit. And the spirit has another desire. The spirit wants to go in another direction. That's why sometimes with certain people, you know, there are certain folks, they don't show much emotion. They're monotones. Their voice don't go up and down very much. They're hard to read. Now, some folks aren't hard to read. I'm telling you, I'm probably not very hard to read. I'm an emotional kind of guy, and you can probably tell where I'm at, you know, right off the bat. But some folks, you know, they're just level. They're on a plane. They don't have many highs and many lows. They just flatline all the time, and they're just kind of monotone. And you're like, you know, the guy, he speaks to you, and thank you. Yeah, that's nice. Oh, wow, that's really good. They're just kind of, you know, you can't really tell if they're excited. You can't tell if they're sad. You can't tell that. And it's hard because their voice doesn't vary very much. It's just a straight monotone voice, and it can be very difficult. God is not like that, I promise you. God has a lot of variety in his voice and how he speaks unto us, because he's a God that does express his emotions. Sometimes monotone people can struggle to communicate effectively because they're just so monotone, even to follow them. Man, you go to sleep. It is, when that guy talks, he has no ups and downs. He has no loud and quiet. It's just straight. And it's like you're listening to a computer, if you will, and you're thinking, this is something that's difficult. But I'm telling you that the voice is something that will communicate what kind of spirit that you have and what kind of attitude, what's going on inside of you. You'll notice the Bible talks about this in Exodus 32:18. And he said, this is when Moses and Joshua came off the mountain, and they heard a sound coming from the camp. And they said this, I think it was Joshua said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. Psalm 47:1, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. And here you see a people, that voice can convey, I'm defeated. And it's saying, I'm on the run, help, I'm on the run. And it could be, or it'd be a shout of triumph, so that the voice communicates, I'm winning this game. I'm on top of the game, praise the Lord. And I'm moving forward, so that voice can say victory or defeat, but it communicates what is going on in the soul and the spirit, and lets folks know, this is where I'm at. Amen. We try when we write, it's very difficult. And punctuation, we have invented this thing called punctuation. And the point of punctuation is to give voice to the written words. You know, I don't talk like this, and I'll say, everybody in this room, comma, needs to not go to sleep on me, period. You know, I could say, everybody in this room, comma, need not go to sleep on me, exclamation point. See, but I don't say exclamation point or comma or period or semicolon or quotation marks, because that's in the written form. Because what are we trying to do? In the written form, we put a comma because there's a pause here in the voice. We put an exclamation point because he is saying this with emphatically, with something strong, period. It's just some kind of a declaration. And so with our punctuation that we are putting with the writing, we are trying to convey the sense of the voice with which they speak. You know, we use that with the words as well, sometimes, especially when we have the quotation marks. And if you're reading a novel or a story, and it will say, Johnny told her that he did not love her anymore. And then it might say, or said Johnny very harshly. And they might say how he said it. They might give a word to describe how this phrase was stated and how that he expressed himself. What are we doing? We're trying to communicate the voice, because the voice is important. You can sit here and read the words in monotone, but how those words are said affects the meaning of what is said. And you've got to know the voice as well as the word. There are many that study the word and never know the voice. There are those that have the sense. They can tell you the legalities, but they don't know the spiritualities, because they don't have the Spirit of God who gives the voice. We have the letter, and that's the scripture, but the voice comes from the Holy Spirit, who is the inspirer, who is the one that speaks it. And without the Holy Ghost, you don't have the voice. Oh, glory to God. God puts his Spirit in us to give voice unto the word of God that is written for us. You can attach your voice and your meaning. That's what we want to do. We want to make it God's word, but we put man's voice to it. So we slant it the way we want to slant it. We speak it the way we want to speak it. We got to read it until God burns it in us and says, this is what I'm saying, and this is how I say it. You see, I give you an example. I appreciate the young man reading today, Nathan, because he was reading. I try to communicate this to young people, to everybody when they read. And he was reading, he was seeking to give voice to what was saying, because it makes a difference. I read a verse. I've done this. This is one familiar. I'll do it with you very quickly. The Gospel of John, chapter 18. And I've spoken this. It's familiar, but it's an example that comes to my mind readily. In the Gospel of John, chapter 18. Well, I'll find it here in just a second. I'm using my new Bible. To find the verse of where I am at. Glory to God. I know it's John's Gospel, chapter 18. All right, here we go. Down to verse 36, please. Jesus answers, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that's of the truth heareth my voice. And Pilate saith unto him, now this little phrase, what voice you give to that makes all the difference. Did Pilate say, well, what is truth? Or did he say, what is truth? See, it makes all the difference. The voice you attached to Pilate, and to get that voice, you'll have to look at the context. You'll have to see where, what is Pilate's attitude? Is he really seeking truth? Does he really have an interest in truth, that he is looking at the embodiment of truth who stands before him, Jesus Christ, and says, what is truth? You see, because I know the character of Christ that's proved out in that scripture, I firmly believe that had Pilate looked unto Jesus and said, what is truth? Had he at that moment earnestly been a truth seeker, had have been searching and looking and really wanted to know the truth, I'm going to tell you, you could not have silenced the king that was standing before him. You couldn't have put a muzzle big enough to muzzle the Son of God, who would have looked at this man and reached out to his soul and conveyed that truth into his spirit. But you see, this man is not a truth seeker. He is moved by political expedience. He is motivated by what motivates his political power, and it is obvious this man is covetous, and he is not after truth or righteousness. He is after whatever builds his own personal kingdom. So it fits more with the context that Pilate is, what is truth? In other words, what value does truth have if you want to get ahead in this life? If you want to be a king, you want to be a king, and your kingdom is all about truth, your kingdom is about promoting truth, well then what value is that? He knows, you see, he's got a kingdom in Judea, and the only way he gets that kingdom is by conniving and political maneuvering and getting rubbing, scratching somebody's back and doing a favor for somebody. That's how you get somewhere in the kingdom of men. But Jesus doesn't operate like that. Hallelujah. His kingdom in order by the way the kingdom of men is ordered. His kingdom operates on a whole different set of rules. Glory to God. It's a kingdom that is based in truth. And Jesus speaks that truth. So the voice, my point again, is that the voice conveys that. And we try to write that into the message. And we need to learn that when we speak the word of God, we need to discover the voice, because the voice is critical in understanding the meaning of the words. Now, I can tell you, if you attach a wrong voice to the speaker, you can miss his message. Because certain voices upset us. I've had people, because they don't know, sometimes I preach, they think I'm angry. I'm not angry. I'm excited. Sometimes I'm concerned. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed. Sometimes I'm just under the unction of the Holy Ghost that is just pouring it into me, that it is just, it's got to come out, and I'm under a strain. And so my voice is raised, and my voice is seeking to be emphatic. My voice is seeking to communicate this in an authoritative manner. I'm not making a suggestion here. I'm preaching to you what God says, and you need to follow this. It's not angry, but to some that they attach that, then they will misconstrue what you are saying because they have put a different voice to that. I'm telling you, God, in reference to the people's understanding, has lost his voice today. His voice no longer speaks like thunder. He is no longer a God whose voice will shake the cedars. His voice no longer shakes the earth so that men tremble before it. We've attached a feministic, weak, anemic voice to a God who is mighty and powerful, and we are destroying the message because we don't know the voice. God's voice is a thunder, and when it rolls and God speaks, he can shake the very foundations of the earth. So you got to be careful what voice you attach to the speaker so that you do not misconstrue the words. In the same way, the speaker must be careful, because we know that we can change our voice to give a message that is different than what we really want or who we really are. We've all done it. There is somebody that we do not like. There is somebody that we can't stand the presence of. There's somebody that our heart is such that inside we'd like to punch their lights out. And they do something, and but all of a sudden, they're in a position, And we have to go to them to get what we need.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's a boss man. Maybe it's a coworker. And all of a sudden now you got to go deal with that person you don't like. So what do you do when you go in? How are you today? Yeah, how you doing? Yeah. And before you've... The voice has been something different, but you have to change the voice, not because your spirit has changed, but because your need is of such that you know another voice is not going to get what you want. That if you don't have a voice of supplication, if you don't have a voice of humility, if you don't have a voice that conveys honor and respect, you're not going anywhere with this cat. And so your heart doesn't say that. Your heart doesn't want to say it, but you know your voice has to say it. And we need to be careful. A Christian should never have that. Our voice ought to convey what our will is. Our will is to do what is good. Our will is to do what is right. And let our voice ever be that which communicates the passion that is burning in our heart. And let the truth abide in the heart. And the voice will have no problem conveying that truth and being consistent with it. I'm not talking about a man overriding his feelings. I'm talking about a man whose will is committed to truth. So it's important to see that the voice reflects more than anything the will of the speaker. Your voice reflects your true desire. You're trying to butter this guy up, or are you trying to just to, you know, make him mad or whatever it is? Your voice is what communicates that. Thirdly, I want you to understand that the voice is unique to the speaker. Our ears may not detect the difference. I've had folks, I called the other day, I think it was Nate here, and he answered the phone. I thought it was Emery, and it was his son. I said, man, you know, the son sounds like the father, or the daughter sounds like the mother, and it isn't good if the daughter sounds like the father, all right? That's not good. Or if the son sounds like the mother, that's not a good thing. Change your voice, all right? Go get you some sandpaper and rough it up, bud, if you got to, whatever you got to do. Change that voice, because you don't want to answer the phone as a young man. Someone says, I thought you were your mom. That doesn't sound good. But nevertheless, that voice is such that we can make mistakes. He sounds like so-and-so. He sounds like so-and-so. But in reality, every voice in the world is unique. I read you this from the website wonderopolis.org. It says this: we each have a unique voice because so many factors work together to produce that voice. Your voice starts down in your lungs where air is exhaled to create an airstream in the trachea and across the larynx, which is often called the voice box. Stretched horizontally across the larynx are vocal folds, which are also known as vocal cords. As air passes over them, the vocal cords vibrate very quickly to produce sounds. Isn't God powerful? Are we not fearfully and wonderfully made? How you can even look at the voice and think we evolved is beyond me. The higher the rate of vibration, called frequency, the higher the pitch is. The pitch of your voice is largely determined by the length and tension of your vocal cords. By themselves, the vocal cords produce just a buzzing sound. The parts of your body between the vocal cords and the outside world, such as the throat, nose, and mouth, act as a resonating chamber to turn those buzzing sounds into your unique human voice. Have you ever noticed how your voice changes when you get all stuffed up? You can't hardly talk, you know, whatever. You get, or you get your screech or whatever, and you just get all, your nose is all stopped up and you can't get the airflow. Your voice changes. You know, someone calls on a cone and will say, man, you sound terrible. You can't even see them. You sound terrible. Well, their voice is all changed because the resonating chamber is all mixed up from what it normally is. As you can see, there are many different parts of the body involved in producing your voice. Each of those parts is unique in each person, which is what gives each person a unique voice. Moreover, those parts can change over the years and even from day to day. So your voice itself can change over time and even day to day. For example, as boys grow older, their voices tend to deepen. This is because testosterone in boys makes their vocal cords longer and thicker. Girls' voices will change a bit as they grow older too, but not to as great an extent as with boys. In general, men will have deeper voices than women because their vocal cords tend to be larger and vibrate at lower frequencies. You may also notice a change in your voice when you have a cold. The raspy voice, common to people with colds, is caused by swelling in the vocal cords caused by the cold virus. Coughing can also cause further irritation and swelling in the vocal cords. Emotions can also play a role in your voice changing. When you get excited, nervous, or scared, the muscles around your larynx often tighten up, causing increased tension in your vocal cords. That increased tension translates to the higher pitch we often hear in our voice when we're excited or stressed. Have you ever heard someone just talking only like this, and then it is, "Oh, we need to go, and their voice just gets all of a sudden real high pitched because the emotion and the tension has made something tighter in that larynx. Likewise, your voice can change from time to time as a result of anything that affects your vocal cords, the larynx, or any of the other parts of the body that help to produce your voice. Some of these factors include pollution, climate, smoking, and shouting or screaming too much. You know, we know after you've hollered and shouted and you go try going home, you know, and you can barely talk above a whisper because, you know, you've just shouted too much and you've moved your voice too much and you've stretched it out and strained it. Or people that smoke, and thank God that we preach against that, and you know, shouldn't do that, and we believe that is a sin. But you've seen smokers who destroy their voice. I mean, when they get old, their voice box has been essentially destroyed because of the smoke that has been inhaled and affected the larynx and affected all of this, the vocal cords, all of those things that are going on. So what you do can affect your voice. Your emotions can affect your voice and everything about you. But although you may not be able to tell the difference, there are scientific equipment. They can listen to your voice and they can clearly distinguish Brother Cottle from Brother Woods. They can clearly distinguish, though I may not distinguish Nathan from his father, a machine could do that, that was able to fine tune and see the differences in the vibrations and the sounds that come out. And as I'll share with you a little bit later, there is no one that has a more unique voice than our God. He doesn't sound like anybody else. He doesn't sound like anybody else. The voice is unique and everything about it is different in each person. Now think with me just for a moment here. We'll, a little bit further. I want to talk about the power of the voice. Again, now stay with me here. I'm not trying to take the words away. I just want you to focus for a moment, not on the sense of when you think about this concept, not just on what's being said, but how, what voice it is being, with which it is being said. The power of the voice. The voice can, number one, it can cause fear. The Bible says in Genesis 3, verse 8 through 10, "And they heard the voice." Did you hear that? They didn't hear the footsteps. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. "And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, 'Where art thou?' And he said, 'I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.'" He wasn't afraid of God's words. God never said anything at this point yet to condemn him. He didn't run away from something that God had said, because there's been nothing on this occasion. And God has just simply asked the question, "Where are you?" I mean, what's condemning about that? What's condemning? Because Adam knows he's not where he needs to be. But it's not the words that's bothering Adam. It's the very voice, because the voice says that the living one is present. And now I've got to be accountable to him. I'm telling you, just because when that voice speaks, it has a sense of purity, it has a sense of power, it has a sense of authority. And I'm telling you, that voice can cause fear. Oh my, you know how the child, when they're in trouble and they don't even have to hear what daddy is saying, if they just hear in the distance daddy's voice, they know, I'm in deep trouble. Because the voice means the presence is there. The presence is there. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. You can read his word and not know his presence. And that's why they won't hear the voice, because they don't have his presence. Woo, glory. The voice, the power of the voice to persuade. Listen to this. Genesis 3:17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Genesis 16:2. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Now you got to understand that. That's important. Why? It wasn't the words. It wasn't the convincing argument that Sarah made that made Abraham take Hagar as his wife. It was that pleading, honey, voice. Hello. If Eve had looked at Adam and said, you need to eat this, he wouldn't have taken that. He thought, what's wrong with you, woman? You lost your mind. But Adam, you need to eat this. Hey, ladies, we all know where it's at, don't we? Mm-hmm. Come on. Everybody does. The power of a woman's voice. Her arguments can be absurd, but her voice can be convincing. You can listen to the argument and you say, she ain't making any sense. Oh, but the attraction of that voice is like honey. Woo, it's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. I'm telling you that there, honey, that butter up, that smooth, silky, soft voice that is coming up is so seductive that you pay no attention to the words. There can even be another voice screaming in your ear. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Man, you're crazy. You're going down the wrong road. You're going to get messed up. Don't do it. But you can't get past the persuasion power of the voice. Woo! You got to keep that in mind, my friend. That voice has an important or power to persuade. You know what? Even when we go to God, how much our voice makes a difference. Psalm 18:6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. He said, here, it isn't the words that I made to God. It isn't the arguments that I made to God. It isn't that I presented a case that God couldn't refuse. It was my voice, because the voice says, I'm in distress. The voice says, I need help. The voice is crying. The voice is calling out, and the voice is communicating that there's a needy soul. And I'm telling you, that moved the God that is on the throne. There are times that God is not moved by our words, but he's moved by the voice. And sometimes that's why our prayers don't go anywhere. There's no fervency. The voice is saying, I'm just here because I've got to be here. I'm just here to get my prayer time in. The voice is not saying, I really love you, God. I really need you, God. I really want to touch you today. And I've got to have a touch from my God today. What does your voice say when you are praying?
Hallelujah.
There's no fervency. It's just monotone. You're going, God doesn't hear that. He isn't concerned just about what you say. He wants to know the voice that you've attached to it, because that's the communication of your spirit and your heart and your emotion. He said in 1 Kings 17:22, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah
and the soul of the child came in to him again, and he revived. When Elijah stretched himself out, I'm telling you right now, folks, that prophet is praying over that dead son. I want you to know it wasn't the magic of words or phrases. You see, that's something we've done in this kind of hyper faith movement. We think that it's the words, just the words. And so you got to say them just right. Well, God didn't answer your prayer because you didn't just quote that just right, or you just said that the wrong word. It isn't that words in and of themselves have magical power. If they don't come out of your heart and they're not spoken correctly, I'm telling her from a spirit that's right with God, he's going to hear it. I don't care how grammatically correct you are. I don't care how grammatically accurate you are in speaking what thus saith the word of God. If your spirit's out of order, God isn't going to get to you, and he isn't going to help you. That's just the way that it is. The voice has got to be right. Amen. And how many times that we didn't even have the ability to express it? The Bible talks about how the Spirit can utter groanings. Groanings, that's not words. A groan, a sound, a voice can say something that words don't even convey. And how many times, if God really answered our prayer verbally the way we'd expressed it, we get a big surprise. But God heard your voice. He didn't hear the exactness of your request. He knew your heart, and he knew what your voice was saying, and therefore God heard and he answered your prayer. This is why that to reject the voice is to be extremely obstinate. Deuteronomy 8:20, the Lord said, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Exodus 5:2, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, and neither will I let Israel go. 1 Samuel 2:22-25. Now Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did unto Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil doings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. Hebrews 3:15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. You see, here's the thing, that the voice is what really gives. It becomes the attention getter. Sometimes words just spoken have no meaning. I'm going to tell you right now, you can have an adult come and ask you something and make a request of you, and then have a little 2-3-year-old come up and make that request of you. Whole different voice. It can make the same request, but I'm telling you, the voice of a 3-year-old child is much harder to refuse than the voice of some hard-headed adult, all right? I mean, because that child comes in their innocence, and they look up with them big old brown eyes, you know, just stretching out, Daddy, can we do this? Now, somebody else had asking you to say, no, man, what's wrong with you? But that little kid, oh my, you got to think twice to refuse that. That's the voice. And you see, people look at it when you just reject the word of God. Eli didn't, his sons didn't just reject his word. They understood what he was saying was right, but it was the voice of Eli, the Bible said, they wouldn't hear. He's pleading with his sons. A daddy is crying out to his own sons, you're doing wrong. Man, you're going to sin against God. He's going to judge you. You can't fight God and win. What are you going to do? When you have rejected the voice of the Lord, you have not merely rejected words, you have rejected a passionate, compassionate appeal to your heart. You have rejected the heart of God. You haven't transgressed the creed. You haven't just transgressed some kind of doctrine. You have transgressed the Spirit. You have grieved the Holy Spirit of God, who with his voice is trying to draw you unto him. I want you just to learn as you read Scripture to start here today.
I'm going to close, but I want you to begin when you read that word, because I've done it. Maybe you haven't. I've done it. Until God just began to hit me between the eyes with this thing. And one day I'm thinking, voice, it doesn't say that they didn't hear the words of Eli. They didn't listen to the words of Eli. That Pharaoh didn't listen to the words of Moses. It didn't say they disobeyed the words of Moses. They disobeyed the voice. Who is God that I should obey His voice? And I just want you to see, first of all, that it's not merely the rejection of a concept or an idea. When people reject God, they're not just rejecting a religion. They're rejecting a person. They're rejecting a will. They're rejecting a heart. They're rejecting somebody who truly cares for them. And that's what it is with a voice. A computer can read things to you, but there's no life there. There's nothing there. We have to give it some kind of human voice to read things out, but we still know it is a machine. But when you got a person, I'm telling you, there are feelings that come out. There's an attitude. There's a spirit that can grip you. And when you can't even grasp the words, when you can't even focus on the words, the voice has got such a hold on your soul. And it can turn you. And I'm telling you, that's what we need. We need God to speak. We need the preaching to come, not just with the words, but with the voice of God, so that men can know that God is talking under their heart. And when you read that book, you need to read more than words on a page. You've got to hear the voice. You've got to hear the voice. You need the Spirit of God to speak into your bosom what God is seeking to say unto you. I've often just read it, and I just read, and they disobeyed the voice of God. I just think they disobeyed His word. And then I begin to realize, no, wait a minute. They've rejected something that touched even their emotions. They rejected not just an appeal to their conscience, but an appeal to their feelings, to their humanity, to their sense of decency, to their sense of any sense of righteousness at all. Do you know we're creatures that we don't typically respond, say what you want to. Our very makeup is that we respond to emotions. If you've ever heard an orator speak, what we call an orator, there are numerous preachers out there, numerous speakers. Some are speakers and some are speakers. I changed my voice there. Did you notice that? Said the same word. Some are speakers and some are speakers. What do I mean by that? You know, it is sometimes a danger to flip this thing around for a moment. Some people can also get so caught up with the voice, they don't measure the words. And so you get this silver-tongued orator, this smooth operator, this preacher. That's what the Bible says with their words. You know, their deception that they bring. But it isn't their message as much as it is their voice. Their voice is reaching out. And you're so caught up and mesmerized by the voice. Oh, he speaks with authority. Oh, he can't be wrong. This guy's educated. Listen how he speaks. I guarantee you, if the preachers that are out there today promoting the prosperity gospel, promoting this hyper-faith gospel, if you will, that kind of movement, if all of those speakers had just been monotone nobodies, they wouldn't have gone anywhere. They're charismatic men. They're men, I would tell you, they're showmen. T.D. Jakes is one of them. He's a showman. He can put on a show. I'm telling you, folks, and what happens is you are so mesmerized by the performance. You're so mesmerized by the voice that you don't pay enough attention to the words. I'm telling you, it's both. I need to hear the words and they need to be right. And then I need to hear what the voice is saying at the same time and be able to put them together. But I say, when you reject God, you've not just rejected a law. You've not just rejected some impersonal program or impersonal rule. You've rejected the one who made you. You've rejected the heart that loves you and died for you. You're rejecting the one that cried out on Calvary and for God to save you and deliver you. The voice is coming down from Golgotha stands here and is telling you, I love you, and you have rejected an appeal of passion to your soul. The voice has an ability to bring joy. Whew. Luke 1:39-44. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with loud voice. Let's see, does that make her the first Pentecostal right here? That's what the Bible said. Elizabeth was filled and she spoke with a loud voice. Woo! I'm going to tell you something right now. That's been most of the time what I've seen. And when folks get filled with the Holy Ghost, that voice goes up. I'm telling you, it isn't so much the words. Matter of fact, if they're speaking in tongues, we can't even understand it. But the voice says, hallelujah, anyhow. Woo! The voice says, I'm happy. The voice says, this is great. The voice says, praise the Lord. This is what she said. And she spake with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Ah, John the Baptist couldn't understand the words of Mary. Ah, he couldn't understand it, but he did feel what was in the womb of Mary. Oh, glory. The voice transcended the words. And the voice, when it was spoken, John in that womb, he could not understand the words, but he leaped for joy because the Spirit, oh, hallelujah, the Spirit had conveyed that the master he's going to introduce to the world has just entered the room. He's in the womb of Mary. He is a seed in her womb and is coming forth. And she rejoiced with joy. We ought to rejoice when we hear the voice of God. Sometimes I don't need to hear a word, but the God, his sound of that rushing mighty wind can turn my heart upside down and rejoice with the joy of God. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 Sure, praise the Lord. The voice can bring joy. You ever had a loved one you thought was gone, and then all of a sudden you heard their voice? Woo! That's what you wanted. It was the voice. Because the voice says they're alive. The voice says there is life. You can hang a sign. You can put words on a corpse where you go by and read the memorial. You've got words on their tombstone, but there's no voice because the voice has been silenced in the grave. Why? Because there's no life there. But the voice says there's a living presence. There's a living person that is here, and he has come into your presence. And we ought to leap when we know God's in the house. We ought to leap for joy. We ought to shout for joy when God speaks among us and his voice is heard. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet this afternoon. Glory, 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 glory. I'll pick up with it, God willing, Wednesday. But I want to emphasize, and today I just wanted to drive home to you that point. I want you to begin every time you see that in Scripture. These are things you know. I've not told you anything new. You know this. Inherently, we know it. But I want you to start reading that. Would you see the word voice in Scripture? He is not talking so much about the commandment or the words. He's talking about the sound with which they were brought forth. He's talking about the life and the spirit that brought those words. So when you reject the word of God, you also reject the spirit of God, because you reject his voice. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. And how important is our voice?
Come on.
Is your voice always true to your spirit? So think about your own voice and where it's at. Is your voice, it may not always be true to how you feel. I really don't care. And I don't mean this to be indifferent. I'm not saying this indifferently. It's not so important as to how you feel. But the voice always reflects the will. Sometimes I have to put on a good face when I'm hurting. I have to, because I don't need my burden to be placed on somebody else. And so I put on the good face, but I'm not being deceptive. I'm being purposeful. I want my voice to communicate a delight, because that's real. That's in my heart. My body may feel something different. You may be sick. You may be afflicted. You may be burdened, under a burden. And it may be so difficult that you can't disguise it. But your effort to disguise in that situation is not deceptive. It's a decision the will is making for a good purpose, because you don't feel this person needs to be burdened with what you're doing and what you've got. It's your burden to carry. It's your cross. And you don't need to place your cross on their back. So you're not going to put that cross on their back. You're going to make sure your voice communicates to them that victory and that joy and that delight. Hallelujah. And that will help you, because it shows you've learned to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you know the trying of your faith working patience. And you know that after the cross is a crown. Hallelujah. And you've looked beyond the present suffering and saw the glory of God that's coming. And your voice is able to reflect a faith that reaches beyond the circumstance and gives glory to God who will bring you through. Woo! Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, let me know your voice. Let me know your voice. Would you raise your hand and pray, Father, in the name of Jesus?